It may come as a surprise that in the 1800s, poetry played a big part in the lives of American slaves. Although slavery wasn't officially abolished until 1865, a literary movement of African American writing was thriving. It gave voice to oppression and the rich lives of African Americans. A new book, Voices Beyond Bondage, documents that time, and it's the first anthology of African American writings from 19th century black-owned newspapers. Erica DeSimone co-edited the book, and she joins us from New York. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. So the 19th century, obviously a terrible time, a tumultuous time for African Americans in the United States. What role did poetry play in their lives?
Well, in the 19th century, poetry was very popular. And we tend to think now of poetry as belonging to named poets like Russell Lowell and Walt Whitman. But there was really a whole movement of African Americans who were writing, using poetry as a vehicle to express themselves. And that movement started in about 1827. That's when the first black-owned newspaper was published. And from there on out, almost every single black-owned newspaper in the nation carried a poetry column, an open-call poetry column.
We'll talk about those newspapers in just a minute, but I have to say that when you think about slaves and even African Americans in general in the 1800s, you know, it's surprising to me and perhaps to others that they were, you know, able to write. I mean, maybe it's a stereotype that they weren't able to do that, but what did you find there?
It is a misnomer that slaves were illiterate. By the start of the Civil War or so, we found that at least 10% of slaves had achieved literacy. And I've even read estimates that say as much as 30%. So I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle there.
So where were they learning to read and to write?
Well, there were free schools in Boston and New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia. And in the South, literacy largely came through churches. A lot of churches would covertly or otherwise teach literacy to slaves. And slaves would pass the knowledge on among themselves.
Well, let's hear one of the poems from the book. In 1828, the author Africus wrote The Tears of a Slave. Can you read some of that?
Sure. The Tears of a Slave. Adieu to my dear native shore, to toss on the boisterous wave, to enjoy my kindred no more, but to weep the tears of a slave. By the sons of freemen I'm born, to the land of the free and the brave. From my wife and my children I'm torn, to weep the sad tears of a slave. When I think on mother and friends, and the joy their countenance gave, oh, how my sad bosom it rends, while weeping the tears of a slave.
What do we know about Africus and where he published that?
We don't know a lot about Africus, but we do know that he was enslaved in childhood, and we don't know how he achieved freedom, but he did. He came here to New York, was enrolled in the African Free School in Brooklyn. And we believe this is him reflecting on perhaps not his experience, but maybe his mother's experience or his father's experience, if he was lucky enough to have known them, or just kind of a general disquisition on the hardships that slaves went through.
And he published this in Freedom's Journal, and you've mentioned that all of the poems in this anthology were published in black-owned newspapers. Tell us a little bit more about those newspapers, who owned them, and how important they were to African Americans.
We have African American newspapers all over the Northeast and some in the South as well, a few in the territories. Some of them were large with almost a national reach, like the Frederick Douglass paper, which was out of Rochester. But a lot of them were tiny. The Benevolent Banner was published in Topeka in 1887. Another small one was the Afro-American Advance, published in Minneapolis. And a big one in the South was the Concordia Eagle, and that was published in 1873 out of a small town on the Mississippi-Louisiana border.
Well, let's hear some more of the poetry. There's one poem called Ebon Venus. Can you talk about that one?
Sure. African-American poetry in the 19th century wasn't just about abolitionism. This book has five themes, and in each theme you'll find we have poems to family, friends, God, love, religion, politics. There's a whole breadth and scope. And one of the most valuable sections, in my opinion, is reminiscence and humor. Because it reminds us that even though African Americans, as a people, were enslaved and beaten and raped and sold, they still had the courage to laugh and they still inspired laughter in others. The Ebon Venus isn't as much of a humorous poem, but it is a poem of African American pride and a validation of African American beauty. And it comes to us from Lewis Howard Latimer, who is here in New York, and he was the child of a slave, although he was freeborn in Massachusetts. The Ebon Venus. Let others boast of maidens fair, of eyes of blue and golden hair. My heart, like a needle, ever true, turns to the maid of ebon hue. I love her form of matchless grace, the dark brown beauty of her face, her lips that speak of love's delight, her eyes that gleam as stars at night. Over marble Venus let them rage, they who set the fashions of the age. Each to his taste, but as for me, my Venus shall be ebony.
I wonder, as you take a look at some of the poems in this book, or in fact, maybe all of the poems in this book, do the authors or the publishers face any dangers when they presented them to the public? Because if you think about groups of people that are repressed throughout history, things like reading, things like writing, arts and culture, those can be seen as a threat. So I wonder, did these people face any risks?
Oh, of course. We have a newspaper in here from Louisville, simply called Louisville Newspaper, and that was started in 1849 in Kentucky. It only ran sporadically over the course of 2 years, but that's because it was an underground paper. The folks who were publishing this paper in the South really had to go about this very carefully and very covertly in order to get their news out. And we have another paper in here from here in New York. This newspaper is the Mirror of Liberty, and it was David Ruggles' paper. And David Ruggles' home/bookshop/printing house was burned down in a riot because he was promoting this newspaper and the abolitionist views behind it.
What was the most surprising thing that you learned from putting this book together?
Well, I guess the most surprising thing was that there's this whole wealth of literature in these Black-owned newspapers that we just haven't looked at. Black-owned newspapers in general haven't even really been examined. It's only been in the last maybe 10 or 15 years that scholars have started to look at the contents of these papers. But the poetry can really be described as a movement. We know that a lot of newspapers received from their open call columns, they received more poems than they could publish. So there were scores and scores and scores of writers that we just haven't looked at, that we haven't examined. And I find it surprising that nobody has looked at this material.
Erica DeSimone, co-editor of Voices Beyond Bondage, an anthology of verse by African Americans of the 19th century. Erica, thanks so much.
It was a pleasure being here.